Welcome to Talk at 10. It's your weekday interview program on KRTS. I'm Tom Michael, your host for this episode. We heard just a moment ago about Hurricane Isaac and certainly weather, extreme weather in the news. I heard a report this morning on Morning Edition where one of the residents said they had weather fatigue for here on the seventh anniversary of Hurricane Katrina having such extreme weather. And we're talking about climate change this morning, and we're talking about an artistic response to global climate change. It's Carbon 13. It's the new exhibit at Ballroom Marfa here in Marfa. It opens on Friday. That's August 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. There'll be a community dinner at the Capri following that opening from 8 to 10 p.m. The curator of this exhibit is David Buckland, and we're pleased to have him in the studio this morning. Hello, David.
Hi, Tom. It's a real pleasure, actually, to be back in Marfa. I was here last September, so second visit, getting better and better.
David Buckland, an artist and filmmaker. He's shown in London, Paris, and New York, including a one-man show of digitally mastered portraits of performers at London's National Portrait Gallery. For some time now, he's been working on Cape Farewell, and we're talking about 80 degrees north. I believe it belongs to Greenland, but it's an artistic project. And perhaps you can summarize what Cape Farewell is.
Yeah, it's now in its 12th year. So I started it as pure basic kind of artistic inquiry, and I started working with some climate scientists. So this is 12 years ago, and they had a real problem. They knew what we knew now about climate, but they couldn't get it out into the media. They couldn't engage the public. So the ask from my end was to, okay, can we get the creative sector on board to almost create a different language, not a scientific language to talk about climate, but a language that you could use in books and architecture and paintings and photography and film. And that's what we did. So we chartered this incredibly beautiful 100-year-old sailing schooner and sailed way up into the North Arctic. And we've done 7 expeditions into the Arctic, 1 into the Andes, and 1 last year was on the west coast of Scotland. All areas of the planet in a way that are stressed by climate. I mean, it's quite shocking just seeing glaciers and ice melt that's happening in the Arctic. But I think what's happening now is that, as you pointed out, you know, weather fatigue, you don't have to go to the Arctic to see the effects of climate change. It's happening on our doorsteps. And Martha, you know, you've had a drought. Thankfully, it's very verdant at the moment, but, you know, you've still got water to think about and water shortages. You go up to the Midwest, and boy, they're still in trouble. So, you know, and then again, you know, if you look at it globally, I've just come back from England, and we've had the 3 wettest months on record, May, June, July. Thankfully, it all stopped for the Olympics, but, you know, we were really drenched in rain. So weird weather patterns are happening everywhere. So I think, you know, that's what the scientists predicted, and that's what we're living with now. And it's more about, you know, we've got to bring it much closer to home, much closer to our own lives. And I think that's what the artists are teasing out in very, very different ways in the Carbon 13 show. They're finding very different ways of engaging and saying, wait a minute, can we think about this? Can we think about that?
Well, I'd like to talk about the art and the artists in specific for Carbon 13, again, opening on Friday at Ballroom Marfa here in town. But first, let's an explanation of the series. Carbon 12 is currently in exhibit in Paris, yes?
Yeah. Carbon 12, Carbon 12 was basically, I mean, they're all isotopes of carbon. So carbon 12, carbon 13, carbon 14. It's kind of interesting. You probably don't know this, but your body is made up of 18% carbon, which is a lot of carbon, and it's kind of a fundamental building block of life. At the same time, yeah, carbon dioxide, you know, it's a greenhouse gas. We're putting too much into the atmosphere. And nicely, carbon was the first tool that artists used to start drawing with. You know, they just took charcoal from the fire and made cave drawings. So this is why I picked up carbon as a kind of a title. And it's got 3 isotopes, so it means that you can play around with a broad spectrum of thinking and ideas. The 12 show in Paris was where artists, 5 artists, had worked for a long period of time directly with scientists. So we put as much science on the wall as we did art. I think what's exciting with Carbon 13 coming to Marfa is it's, you know, we kind of say climate is culture. You know, that we can't blame the scientists for causing climate change.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger. Boy, have we been shooting the poor messenger. I think they're riddled with holes at the moment, but they're still standing, so that's okay. But so 13 is very much looking at, you know, how our lives have, you know, we have evolved over 200 years, incredibly brilliant cultures. You know, we have great medical, great education. The human achievement is phenomenal, but there's one byproduct at the moment, and that's climate change. We've got to use all our ingenuity and creativity to kind of take it on and bring it into our lives. So I think the show in the ballroom is very much about artists addressing that.
David Buckland, our guest, he's the curator of Carbon 13. It's the fall show. It'll be up until February of next year. It opens this Friday, 6 to 8. A reminder, a community dinner, and those are great local feeds at the Capri, and that'll start right after the exhibit around 8 o'clock. Let's talk about this piece, perhaps a kind of a virtual walkthrough, David, if you don't mind. When you enter the gallery and go to the south, go to the left, the south gallery there, it's a husband and wife team, Harvey and Ackroyd. And I know the show is currently being installed, but it appears to be a mix of some 15 pen and ink drawings and a video projection.
Yeah, the video is a complex piece. There was actually a court case that was at the what would be the equivalent of the Supreme Court in England, in London, so the Crown Court. And we actually run for a whole day a court case where two big kind of corporations were taken to court from crimes against ecocide. And the idea was that they would have to, one was looking at the Gulf oil spill, and the other one was looking at the tar sands. So this went right through the day as, you know, as an official court kind of activity. And then at the end of the day, there was an outcome, a jury outcome. So what Harvey and Ackroyd have done is filmed this whole proceedings, and it's a 4.5-hour video. It takes some looking at, but it's pretty interesting. And it debates, you know, the corporate responsibility, where it goes wrong, where it goes right, and also the scientific kind of take on it. So it is an artwork that is a mock trial in that sense. But it's it becomes a very interesting artwork. The drawings are beautiful. They're just made.
They look like tiny little sketches.
Dan Harvey was very interested in, because bird life is really threatened by climate. You know, as the planet warms various places, or you get the storms in or the hurricanes in, then the birds are suffering. So what he did was to get a little wind-up bird and then paint the wings of the bird and let the bird make the drawings.
So they're automatic drawings.
But that sounds a little kind of crass and kind of like schoolish, but you look at the drawings, they're very emotive, very beautiful.
So that's Harvey and Ackroyd, and they had done some interesting work, I think, projections on grass, on sod, and kind of looks at photosynthesis in the past.
Yeah. I mean, what they do is they make a wall of grass, well, the grass seed, and as the grass grows, they project an image onto it. And what is extraordinary is that, you know, you end up, that after 2 weeks, you actually end up with a wall of grass that is there, and it's actually got an image, a portrait, embedded into the grass.
Well, that's amazing.
And it's quite extraordinary. So they're very famous for that, but they're beautiful works.
In the center room, which is they call the cafe, there'll be a video projection that links to the courtyard. Now, we all remember here in Marfa enjoying the slow-motion car crash that the Ballroom Marfa had in an earlier exhibit, the auto body exhibit. In this one, there'll be a running engine block. Why?
This is my work that I'm putting in the show, and I took it from a Duchamp, Marcel Duchamp, who was around 100 years ago, made a series of things called ready-mades. And he basically said you could take any object, put it on a plinth, and it would become a work of art.
Even a urinal.
That was his famous one. So I've taken that one stage further. I mean, it's quite extraordinary. I think this year we're building globally something like 60 million new internal combustion engines. So I'm actually taking an internal combustion engine, making it into a ready-made, sticking it on a plinth. But this one is running. And there's also a way of interrogating the amount of carbon that comes out. And then the other part of the courtyard is a piece of art by Sunam Prasad, which he first did in the Arctic, which are four atmospheric balloons that when flying on a cube, the cube is like 8 meters by 8 meters by 8 meters, basically represents 1 ton of carbon dioxide by volume. So the two added together, you know, the output of carbon dioxide from our internal combustion engines is furious and it's enormous. But at the same time, I'm kind of geeky. I really like engines. They're quite phenomenal. But if you take them out of a car and stick them on a plinth, they're also quite dangerous. I mean, this one's going to run. And it's just the sheer energy that's contained within this great, big, beautiful metallic object.
David, you said you were to interrogate it. Do you mean scientific measuring and statistical?
Yeah, we actually have a little sensor that it, we've been playing around with, you know, that measures the carbon output from the engine, but it's also, you know, you can measure the carbon output of this room, what we're living in. And if you breathe out, you know, suddenly the levels go very high. So it's just a way of understanding. Carbon dioxide is an odd gas. I mean, this is our problem. You can't smell it. You can't see it. Why is it a problem? And trying to understand that, tease it out, I think is what we're trying to do.
Also in that cafe section, the center section of Ballroom Marfa, you had mentioned the architect Sanan Prasad, and he'll have some photographs up there about a project he's been working on in London.
Yeah, it's very, very modest. I mean, you know, Sanan is a very, very famous architect designing great big buildings, but he did a building in an estate in London where he retrofitted a house. And it's a very modest little house, 2-3 bedrooms. But he managed by just putting the right kind of cladding on the outside, the right kind of air use, to reduce the carbon footprint of that building by 80%. Mm. And the idea is, okay, that, you know, this state's got 300 houses on it, and do you do it to every house? I mean, it's quite clear that, you know, I think architectural buildings, you know, emit something like 40% of all carbon dioxide. I mean, that's what they're responsible for. Every building going. And you can't, you know, we can't just knock down all the buildings and rebuild them with new ones.
I just heard our air conditioner go on. We're contributing right now on the roof.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, you know, I don't know if we need it, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, you know, so the idea is that we're going to have to figure out how to take old buildings and make them more efficient. And I think a lot of Sinan's practice is about that. And the beautiful drawings on the wall that just kind of, so no, it's very interesting because, you know, we put an architect in a gallery. You know, it's not a conventional artist, but I think it represents the whole Cape Farewell project where we are really trying to take the whole creative sector. So this can be writers, it can be musicians, you know, it can be architects, it can be opera designers, mm-hmm. poets. You know, that's who we've been working with. And I think having Sanan's work in the show is just a really good example of saying, well, this is a longer dialogue than just having fine art.
They say that the most green building is the one that's already built, of course, because you're not using new materials. But even so, even with that, there can be some retrofitting to improve the carbon footprint. Oh, before we step into the North Gallery and talk about the work, again, we're talking to David Buckland, the curator of Carbon 13. It's a Ballroom Marfa opening. It's their big fall show, and you'll have a chance to view it with some of the artists in attendance on Friday. This is also part of the Marfa Dialogues weekend. More information at ballroommarfa.org. Before we step into this North Gallery, David, talking a little bit more about your kind of broad approach here, because I know on these tours you've included not only just artists and performance artists like Cynthia Hopkins, but also musicians like our recent visitor, Leslie Feist, the musician, Robin Hitchcock, Laurie Anderson, K.T. Tunstall, and more.
Yep, Jarvis Cocker, Richie Sakamoto, and an opera writer. It's very important that they're with us. And I think one of the things to understand is that you don't get immediate, you know, it's not that I'm taking an artist up and saying, okay, I want a piece of artwork within 2 weeks. You know, sometimes it takes a long time for an artist to filter through the whole process and get, you know, that piece of artwork made. So some of the musicians, Jarvis has written a piece that's on his latest album. K.T. Tunstall's piece is on his latest album. Robin and K.T. are currently writing together. So, you know, that's how it is. Richie Sakamoto, he came back and locked himself in his studio for 2 months and came out with this, you know, this latest album, which a lot of it was taken from sounds from the Arctic.
And there was a book inspired by a such
yeah, business. Yeah, our most famous kind of Ian McEwan, a really famous novelist, his latest book, Solar, was all inspired by a trip to the Arctic he had with us. And it is famously portrayed in the book itself. And what is interesting is that, I mean, there are two things about the book. The main character of the book is male, a Nobel Prize winner, and he really is a misogynist, quite nasty, not very pleasant, greedy man. And I think what people don't understand is that this is Ian's metaphor for all of us. You know, we're all this person in a way, and we're just consuming and we're just kind of thinking too much about our own selves. So I think that's where it came in. And the other thing that Ian used was humor. We've actually worked with a comic, Marcus Brigstocke, famous in England, and actually turning the climate tragedy into a comedy. You know, it's like a comedy of errors. Why do we have such trouble getting hold of this thing? It's like, you know, it's really quite, human behavior is really quite comic.
Well, you read that Bill McKibben piece in Rolling Stone, which had a huge impact earlier this year on climate change, and humor is the last thing from your mind.
Yeah, well, Bill's an out-and-out activist, and I'd love, we got to, you know, sometimes we get too serious, and we got to lighten up a bit, and sometimes the best way to communicate to somebody is through humor. It doesn't make it less cutting. I mean, if you're on the bad end of Marcus Brigstocke's humor, you're in trouble. You know, he can cut you to the quick. So it's not that you're letting anything off the hook, but it's just another way of kind of framing it and actually having fun and enjoying the kind of, you know, the complexity of what it is to be human and how we're all kind of, you know, we're none of us are perfect, that's for sure.
Here we are in Marfa, Texas on a partly cloudy day here in front of the picture window looking out at the Judd Foundation buildings. We're talking about Carbon 13, global climate change and artistic response. Our guest, the curator of the program, David Buckland. Let's walk now into the North Gallery. The first artistic pieces we encounter are from a former Marfa resident, Erica Blumenfeld, who seems to seek out disasters in her art. She's almost got an activist quality to her. And then something that's very familiar to us, two large photographs. One of the Rock House Fire. Locals will recognize the mountain forms in the back, but also these four floating panels, accented gold sides. They mirror the four presentations of materials. So just to quick, these are items that were burnt in area wildfires in the American West. And she actually blended these into pigment?
Yeah, I think it's just the beginning of a long series of work that Eric has embarked on. Unfortunately, she's not going to run out of fires, you know, that we're hearing about new ones pretty much daily basis, primarily because the land is so dry and, they're self-igniting half the time. So
Very stark photographs, and these black panels also very foreboding.
I think you lose yourself in them, you know, that you're not quite sure if you're looking at a deep hole or something that's a surface in front of
you. They're textured.
Yeah, what she did was to actually, it's a funny story, but she actually collected carbonized wood from each of the fire sites around the four states. She got stopped quite a few times because obviously she was taking them from private land, so she says they're contraband.
But I believe also from the national parks they would be contraband as well. You're not allowed to remove
exactly
materials.
So I'm probably getting Eric in all sorts of trouble, but anyway. She then, from the carbon that she collected, she got ground it up and used that and made a pigment or a paint out of it. So that's how she's worked. But it's interesting is, you know, you're looking at four black panels and you think, oh, they look the same. And then you kind of interrogate them a bit further. And each black is a different, slightly different back. One's got kind of like little sparkles of minerals in it. So I think each one is a very, very distinct kind of signature of the place where the fire took place. Beautiful. So, I mean, this is the other thing that, you know, taking on an issue for an artist sometimes can be very ham-fisted. And I think what is very clear from this exhibition is just how beautiful some of the works are and the seduction of beauty and the seduction of emotion. You know, we've transferred the language of climate from this didactic, scientific kind of information and say, wait a minute, I care about this emotionally. And I think that kind of sense of emotion really comes across. And I think Erica is a perfect example of it, that you enter into her world at an emotional level. You can't do it didactically. And then she grabs you and then makes you care about what she's seen. Very beautiful.
A reminder that these are commissioned works, new work for Carbon 13. If we move over to Adrian Colburn's collage, it's kind of a visual mapping. And I believe now a lot of our listeners who fly into Midland, Texas will have this experience. As they're flying in, they'll be looking down at that weird panoply of oil derricks and industrial pools and flaming stacks, and wondering all these little carved out roads in the Permian Basin. And of course, they know at a glance, even though they might not know what the objects are, this is oil production.
Yeah, it was actually a total pleasure. I met Adrian up at Midland last week, and we were trying to photograph what you described is what you see from the air, but trying to just do it from the land. But it's totally flat landscape. And, you know, the land is very carefully kind of sectioned off, so you can't get near. So we decided to just charter a small little aeroplane and went up. And we went up with the pilot, was a local guy, and he just took us right across the whole landscape. And it was quite phenomenal to see it. Because you get a lot of the donkeys, which in a way, you know, it's how the oil used to be taken up, but they're now going so deep that to get the oil out and the gas out from underneath, which is, you know, it's great because the oil production and gas production is up, which is good in one way. But they're using fracking in order to release the oil and the gas, which is a big debate. And it's, you know, very current now at the moment in New York State. I mean, I think there's a new kind of decision going to be made whether to allow it or not. But so
the Marcellus Shale over to the Northeast.
So, you know, in a way, it's an incredibly contemporary artwork. I mean, contemporary was actually Adrian is still making it. So, you're watching something unfold before your eyes as you watch her make it. But the other thing she said, it's very interesting. You're talking about collage. What she does is remove the pieces. She focuses your attention on the kind of exactly the piece of information she wants you to look at. And she almost, and she said, look, I'm just removing nature, which actually is a very interesting thing. So what she did was to take out the nature. So she was just concentrating on where the oil rigs were, the fracking rigs, but also where the roads are. So it's a very geometric piece, but the nature is removed. And in a way, it's, you know, it's another metaphor that Adrian is playing with.
Let me re-describe this to the listening audience. So it's an aerial view of all this oil industry infrastructure, but as you said, the pieces in between, the land in between, is not there. It's just a focus on the man-made roads and actual infrastructure. And that brings up the bigger question and perhaps the centerpiece of the exhibit, David, a very famous artist, Antony Gormley, and the eternal struggle between man and nature. Sometimes we think, wow, we're winning, but nature will have its, Mother Nature will have its comeuppance. It's a lone figure that's been used in the centerpiece of this exhibit, and I suppose it's using carbon and charcoal and those early artistic methods you discussed earlier.
Yeah, I mean you have to see it in real life. I mean, Antony is one of the best sculptors that we have on the planet, but he is also one of the most beautiful drawers. So this drawing is made from carbon. And the way it bleeds, the way it looks, but it's also a drawing of a human figure that it partly looks like a Michelin man. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of got a lot of other kind of connotations that kind of fly with the brain. It's, again, very, very beautiful. And he's talking about, you know, the human frame. And as you said, it's, you know, the poor people at the moment are experiencing the hurricane on the Gulf. It's, you can't fight nature when it's angry. And we've got to find a different kind of way of making a relationship so that it's, you know, we acknowledge how powerful and strong nature can be. I mean, you know, if you're in a drought, that's again nature. You know, so that is affecting all the poor farmers up in the Midwest. They're losing their crops and their cattle. So, you know, again, we've got to probably turn the whole conversation around. So there's a much better balance between human need and at the same time the balance of looking after the nature and the beauty that it shows us.
Well, that's a fitting coda to our discussion. I did want to ask, though, you know, initially we get information from scientists. As we said earlier, don't shoot the messenger. But you've brought in such a great menagerie of artists, and with this show, kind of a human response to this global crisis. Do you ever get a scientific response back to your art?
It's I've just had a personal accolade. I wrote a paper for Nature Climate, which is like, you know, the Bible of science.
Absolutely.
And you need peer review to get in it and everything. And they published a whole paper that I wrote. So they actually, and it's about climate as culture, so they're taking this on board and inside their camp, inside their tent, and saying, well, wait a minute, you know, we can't just keep just talking about kind of information science and graphs and data. We've got to take on board the human angle. So I think that the pleasure of working with the scientists that I've had and actually all of the artists have had over the last 12 years has been phenomenal. And I think when we started, the scientists thought the artists would just illustrate their problem. But when you have artists like Ian McEwan and Gormley and all of the artists in this, they don't illustrate. They zap all the information. They take everything that they can from the scientists and then turn it around and actually make an artwork. And I think the scientists realize that and have learned by it and actually are very excited at the outcomes. So it's been it's a good two-way dialogue, and I think both camps have moved a long way. And I personally was very sad at the end, the beginning of the 1900s, that the arts and the science split. You know, it always used to be the art and science. Every expedition had artists on it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of the great overland expeditions, Lewis and Clark.
Totally. So it was always a sadness that our two camps got too specialized. So in a way, one of the good outcomes already about climate change is he's brought these two camps together, and I think that's, you know, it's the dialogue I cherish. It's been fabulous.
Cape Farewell, expeditions to the high Arctic. You said seven there have been?
We've been seven times up in the Arctic.
Are there plans for more?
There are no actually real, maybe. As I said, you know, we know what's going on up there, so it's actually much more important to bring it back to a local kind of terrain and bring it, you know, into Marfa. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where the dialogue should happen. At the same time, the Arctic is truly addictive. I mean, anybody who's been up there, the first thing they want to do is go back up there. You cannot experience anything quite so beautiful and quite so hostile and without human mark and magical. And, so I'm going to go back. I feel it. I will go back.
On that point, there was one video projection that we didn't mention, but I believe it is a kind of a visual interpretation of a report of one of your recent trips to Cape Farewell that I believe even brought one of our cool curatorial people here in town to tears.
It's actually that's nice that you say it's that what we try. It's very beautiful. It's actually we made it for the Olympics in England, and there was a 360-degree cinema, so it's actually meant to be viewed in 360 with a soundtrack that whips around. But we've made a flat screen version, so there are five kind of. What is nice is when you look at it, it's like the viewer's the editor, because you get five screens running all the time, and they're little. You know, there's science in there, there's beautiful, you know, landscape in there. All of the things I said about the Arctic are in there. So it is very, very beautiful, but it's also got a lot of information. But it's nice for the viewer because they can play and choose how to see it, and it's a little loop. It's only 16 minutes long, and yeah, it's worth it. It's a good one.
David, it's been a real pleasure having you here on Marfa Public Radio. Thank you.
Oh, it's a real pleasure to be back in Marfa. Thank you.